Hello, and welcome to Facility Resilience, the podcast where we cover all things facility design, operation and maintenance, and resilience strategies for senior management professionals. I'm Jennifer Getz, the editorial director of Facility Executive and Continuity Insights. Today, I'm joined by Derek Blackmore, president of Akita Box. Derek joined Akita Box, a facility management software provider dedicated to solving the challenges and complexity of the industry in 2017 and is currently the president of the organization. From an early age, Derek has been in and around the construction industry and has developed a unique understanding of facilities and their challenges. With his experience in management, as well as the construction and facility management industries, Derek understands the value of optimizing processes and technology for better overall performance. Derek, thank you so much for joining me today on this episode.
You're welcome, Jen.
We will be talking about the data life cycle, how to make better decisions with data. Derek, I would love to talk to you about some mistakes or common mistakes you see facilities making when it comes to their data management.
I believe I spoke to you recently about how one school district a friend of mine works for somehow mismanaged $2 million and then had to make a whole bunch of staffing adjustments as a result.
So I would love to hear your perspective on some other kinds of mistakes similar to that one.
Yeah, I think data life cycle and the facility life cycle, the two overlay, and we create data every day in everything that we do. And so the first thing I think we still talk to a lot of folks that don't fully appreciate and derive the value from the data they already have. I think that's kind of step one, take stock of where you're at today and determine who and how and when we can make better decisions with that data. And then we can start to look at, do we have gaps in the data, whether that be what we have from a facility and an asset perspective? Is that a gap in where it is? Is it maintenance and operations data? Is it capital planning data? Is it construction data? Is it, and you see where this is going, right? It's the world we live in, and it's not changing anytime soon. So I think that's just the level set and take stock of where you're at, and then understand what are you trying to achieve? What problems do you have today? What challenges might you already see on your own horizon in your facility portfolio? And what information might you need that you don't have? And then, people, process, technology, pretty simple rubric at the surface, but figuring out where you're strong, where you might be weak or lacking something, and charting out a change management path for yourselves and your organization and your facilities to ensure you have the right data available at the right time for the right people to make great decisions.
Perfect. So I would love to discuss really who has access to this data and hear more about your perspective on how to handle who manages that data and who's really meant to handle catching some of these things.
Yeah, it continues off my previous statement. It's, who needs, who is creating data and who needs data and what type of data at certain points in the life cycle, right? And so a good technology solution is going to help you permission those users in a software platform to have access to what they need, not have access to what either they don't need or you don't want them to need. The stakeholder profiles get pretty complex. We have our team internally, which is going to have varying levels of access and permissions. And then we have our external partners, whether they be our AEC firm service providers. Do we have a split team, providing maintenance that's both in-house and a partner outside the firm? And what information can they see? But also enabling them to be able to add to your data because they're doing that work. And that data should be part of your decision-making process, whether it be staffing levels, whether it be capital planning or anything in between. So it's important you've got a platform, a tool that is easy to use for all those stakeholders because the use case certainly gets a little more complicated as we start to make the more strategic, kind of mission-critical decisions on the 5 to 10 year horizon versus what asset is a work order attached to? Where is that asset? And when, what's the history of that asset? What do I need to take with me, perhaps to do my preventative maintenance and logging that work and allowing that to roll up? And every work order, every asset should roll up into that strategic plan, but not everybody needs to look at data at that granular level in a tool. So it's really thinking about who, where, when, why, and how data is created, data is used, and then thinking about security from a corporate perspective, right? Is who's inside of our business and who's on the outside and shouldn't really have the same view or the full view often is the case.
Derek, you and I worked together on a special issue recently called Harnessing the Power of Data. I helped write a labor shortage article where I explore how facility executives are managing an increase in retirements and the skilled labor shortage. Taking all this into account, it's super important to have the data living with the building. And would you say that a lot of facility executives at this point have recognize that fact.
I do. I think we've almost completely recognized it. I think we're still very much in the middle of how to solve it. I remember when I first joined Akita Box, we were obviously much earlier in the transition of the labor pool, who was available, a lot of retirement happening already then, and certainly continuing. And the joke, can we plug the cables into Larry or Sally's head before they retire? No, that's not quite where we're at from a technology perspective, but how can we extract that knowledge, that experience, and even some of the intuition? It can be as simple as that VAV box is 14 feet off the ground. Make sure you have the tall step ladder on the truck when you go across town. We're saving a lot of time there, right? The retiring FM wouldn't think twice. They just know that we need to transfer those simple things. But also, at a portfolio level, we can't walk these buildings. Things are changing. We're working remotely. And so it's not just the expertise within the staff, the team inside the building, but who's responsible for planning. That person may have never been in that building. That is a more common occurrence today than ever before. And so having the information in one place, again, for everybody from the technician to the capital planners to the risk and compliance office is super, super important to have it all connected. That's something we take seriously and make it part of everything we build in our platform, right? We think about that. Who's going to use it? How are they going to use it? Where are they going to use it? It needs to be simple and intuitive. A retiring facility manager doesn't have a lot of interest, and rightfully so, in sitting down and typing all of that information out that goes in their book that they write after retirement, maybe. But we want to make it easier as they're preparing for retirement to be able to collect and capture information about their facilities in a platform that really is the transition plan then for the new workforce that's coming in who expects digital first, expects to be using technology. FM becomes a much more approachable vocation and career for folks when we make technology a key part of how we go about that work.
That's such a great point. I've spoken to several facility managers who are retired who tell me they're still pretty involved in their buildings, that they get a lot of calls and they're still very much involved just because they were the owner of that information and they were the sole person responsible. Now, one thing I wanted to touch on is what advice would you have for people that might still be hesitant about implementing a centralized data system?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be complicated or complex. I think taking the first step before the second step, you certainly want to have a plan and know how over time it can evolve, but simply understanding the assets that you have in your facility today and then the work that's being done, or in many cases not being done. That's a reality that ties us back to the labor shortage. But if we can start to, via data, understand where we're at in the progress we're making and being less reactive and more proactive. These are seemingly small things on the surface, but they can help us start down a path, down a journey using data where we can get more out of our capital expenditure and out of our team that we have today, all leading to it, certainly a much more complex, you can say complicated, although, our goal is to make it simple. Complex is one thing. It needs to be complex. Facilities are not simple entities, right? There's a lot going on. There's a lot in there, but let's start with the day-to-day and let's build towards the bigger vision, the bigger plan, and more strongly aligning a facility, something we talk about often, right? Align the facility to the strategic mission of that organization. If we aren't ahead of the curve, if we aren't taking care of problems before they manifest, I'd much rather go out and do maintenance on an asset before a teacher, a nurse, a physician, or whomever in a building, an occupant in the building says it's broke, it's hot, it's cold, it's wet. Let's solve for those simple things first. And that is, where are we spending our time today and how do we want to spend our time tomorrow? That usually opens up the path a bit. And if we keep that simple, and the role that technology can play, right, is helping understand and analyze the data we have today. And then we may need to run for 3 to 6 months, 12 months in a new way, create more data to help inform what comes next, all rolling up to the bigger picture. But it doesn't have to be that complicated on day one. And I think often it does seem overwhelming, nearly impossible to make that change, but it's one foot in front of the other. And that's how our team helps our new customers that start working with us. It literally is one step at a time. Let's map it out, but hold ourselves accountable to making progress and not try to boil the ocean, in 3 weeks. That's not how this works. The problem wasn't created in 3 weeks. It won't be solved that fast either. But if we've got a good plan and use data to make decisions, we can solve it.
One question I want to ask is, how do you continuously ensure the accuracy of your data using software?
Yeah, I think it provides us the opportunity, no matter what we're doing as it pertains to the facility, to add data. Are we doing work on an asset? Are we doing an inspection? Are we doing an energy audit or a condition assessment, whether that's you and your team or a third party that you work with, tracking that work because those are data points that can inform the bigger picture. Decommissioning an asset, right? Everything has a useful life. It comes to an end. Let's make sure we decommission that asset. For goodness sake, don't delete it, right? We want the data. It can inform a lot of decisions down the road to make sure that we're putting the best performing assets in our facilities to optimize operations. But decommission that asset, get the new asset in, and then all of that helps us inform that capital plan. What do we have today? What's the cost to replace it based on what's happening? And most importantly, when is that going to occur? These things happen all day, every day within the facilities teams. And so if we put tools in the hands of folks, it makes it very easy and very efficient to capture those moments, those actions or inactions, right? Did we not have a big enough team? We may have more deferred maintenance. We should take that into account when we plan our capital for the portfolio moving forward. But I think the key point being every day is when we should do it. We should add, we should augment, enhance, and then decommission things so that we've got an accurate understanding at all times of what we have, where it is, and you know what the rest of the life cycle looks like for that asset, which is ensuring that we'll continue to have the life cycle of the data to make better decisions.
Derek, this has been great talking to you about data and the data life cycle. Is there anything else on this topic that maybe we haven't covered that you'd want to share with our audience?
Yeah, I think, have an open conversation with your stakeholders and realize there's a lot more in your control than ever before, and hold yourself and your partners, kind of speaking from the facility owner perspective here. Your partners want to do these things too. In fact, many of them do, but we're disconnected. Is have that open conversation and talk about how we're all better. We all create more value in the facility. If we're working in a system where we can all see and add and analyze data to make better decisions and deploy our people and our resources more effectively, it's an exciting time to be in FM. I think that's the other thing is we're just so motivated by the opportunity, but also the willingness for people to start making decisions and operate their facilities in a different way. And we're going to keep doing it every day.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Derek, so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Likewise. Thanks, John.
Of course. Special thank you to Akitabox for sponsoring this podcast. Check out Harnessing the Power of Data, available on facilityexecutive.com. To our listeners, thank you so much for listening today, and stay tuned for the next episode of Facility Resilience.